Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He kōna e purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
Ngā mihi nui and welcome to Elemental, RNZ's regular chemistry podcast. I'm Alison Balance.
And I'm Alan Blackman from the Auckland University of Technology. This is episode 69, which is Rhodium. And this name comes from the Greek rhodon, rose-coloured.
As opposed to erbium, which we talked about in another earlier episode, it put the rose-coloured into spectacles.
Indeed it did. So, vital statistics. Elemental symbol of rhodium, RH, atomic number 45. That's putting it smack bang in the middle of the transition elements. And it was discovered in 1803. Regarding its discovery, if you go back and have a listen to the palladium episode, you'll get the story of the isolation of rhodium. And this was obtained by one William Wollaston from the solution obtained by dissolving impure platinum in aqua regia. So, if you recall the palladium episode, he first obtained palladium from this solution, and then when he treated it further, what he found was beautiful red crystals of rhodium trichloride, and that's how the element then got its name.
So it's a precious metal like palladium?
Oh, yes, indeed. Rhodium is very much one of the so-called precious metals. We've talked quite a bit about a few of these in recent episodes, so palladium, platinum. And it's certainly got a price to match. So the current price of rhodium, it's going to set you back $137,000 New Zealand dollars a kilogram, which is, I think, about the most expensive of the elements that we have talked about so far.
Ooh, that's pricey, very pricey.
So you think that's pricey. If you go back to June 2008, rhodium was selling for $490,000 New Zealand dollars a kilogram. And that seems a lot, and it is, but then a mere 6 months later, in November, it was selling for $49,000 a kilogram.
That wasn't a very good investment if you bought it earlier in that year.
The price of rhodium dropped tenfold over around about 6 months. So you have to do a little internet sleuthing to find the reason for this, and apparently it was, like everything else that year, the global financial crisis. So companies started hoarding rhodium because they were very concerned about the supply from South Africa, whether that was going to continue or not. And given that the major use, and this is sort of greater than 80% of rhodium, is in catalytic converters in cars, it's actually very, very good at reducing the amount of nitrogen oxides, which we certainly don't want. So when one car manufacturer decided to unload their rhodium reserves because they weren't selling enough cars, the price then crashed.
So it's got lots of similarities then with palladium and platinum, and not just in that pricey price, but its use in catalytic converters. Yep. Any other uses for it?
Okay, so it finds use in the glass industry. So it's often used in mirrors and optical fibres. And also jewellery. Rhodium metal is in fact very, very shiny, and it's often used as a coating on cheaper metals to make them look, I guess, expensive. Rhodium's perhaps greatest claim to fame was that it won a guy by the name of William Knowles a share of the Nobel Prize for Chemistry in 2001. And he used a chiral rhodium catalyst to develop an enantioselective industrial synthesis of L-DOPA.
Whoa. There are several things about that sentence that I don't understand. So what does that all mean?
Well, this normally takes a lecture in first year.
But we don't have a lecture, Alan.
So we'll see how we go. So I will explain the chiral bit first. So certain molecules are related to each other in the same way as our left hand and right hand are related to each other. And so if we're going to describe them, we would call them non-superimposable mirror images of each other. In other words, they're mirror images, but you can't put them on top of one another exactly. They're always distinguishable. We call molecules that have that particular property chiral, And we call the individual molecules themselves, the two individual molecules themselves, we call them enantiomers. So chiral molecules and enantiomers are extremely important in nature. So, for example, all but one of our amino acids are chiral. And even more remarkably, only one enantiomer of these molecules is found in nature. We talk about the handedness of molecules, left-handed and right-handed. And we find, for example, there's only one handedness of molecules in nature, which is really quite bizarre. And nobody knows how that came about. If you do find out, you'll win yourself a Nobel Prize. Anyway, I'm digressing. So what we also often find is that drug molecules are chiral and that only one of the two possible enantiomers is active. Now, the classic but very, very sad example of this was thalidomide, which might be familiar to some of the listeners of perhaps my vintage. So this was a molecule that was used to treat morning sickness in the late 1950s. So while one enantiomer of this drug was, in fact, extremely effective at the treatment of morning sickness, the other enantiomer was a teratogen. And that led to horrible, horrible birth defects. So basically children being born without limbs. It was quite horrible. Hence, it pays, and in fact literally, to only produce a single enantiomer rather than both on the industrial scale. So the reason that William Knowles won his Nobel Prize is that he came up with a way of making a single enantiomer of L-DOPA by using a chiral rhodium compound as a catalyst. And L-DOPA is in fact a well-known anti-Parkinson's drug.
Just by the by, did you know that snails come in chiral things? There are left-handed and right-handed snail shells.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, chirality is everywhere. It's all around nature. It's wonderful. Yes.
So most snails are right-handed. Interesting fact about rhodium, please.
Okay, sticking with enantiomers, you will commonly encounter rhodium in lip balm, cough remedies, toothpaste and aftershave.
What? Why? How?
Sort of for the same reason as the above, I guess, because rhodium catalysts are used to make synthetic menthol flavours, which we like to use to give a refreshing taste and cooling sensation in things like our toothpaste.
Well, well, well. The ever refreshing Elemental podcast, leaving you with an unexpected minty aftertaste. Don't forget, if you want to revisit rhodium's chemical relatives, palladium and platinum, you can find all the previous episodes of Elemental at rnz.co.nz/chemistry.
Or you can find us on your favourite podcast app, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and plenty of others, where you can also find a wide variety of other podcasts from RNZ, including Alison's wonderful regular science show, Our Changing World.
Oh, gee, thank you. Thank you for that shout-out, Alan. We're back next time with rubidium. But until then, it's cheerio from me, Alison Balance.
And from me, Alan Blackman. Mā te wā.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.